We're reading from the scripture on the back of your bulletin. The free offer of mercy. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourself in abundance. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen that you may live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you according to the faithful mercies shown to David. Isaiah 55:1-3.
Well, let's see. Today's title is Dining with God. So I got to start off. Tim, I thank Tim for giving me a chance to fill in and speak. It's a real privilege. And he said, he called me up on the phone the other night, and he goes, hey, he says, be careful. He says, you're going to come under attack. I said, well, I understand that. You know, when you do follow and obey God, you're the one that's going to be under attack, not the guy who's a bum and just doing out whatever he's doing. Satan doesn't care about him at all. You're the prize. A believer's a prize. So last night, oops, keep my hand off the mic. Okay. I was afraid my beard would be going. So last night, I race RC cars. I have for 30 years. And last night we had a big race down in Grove City, and I went down, and it was in my mind. Tim said, you know, there's going to be, look for attacks. You know, they could be this big, like a little pokes, or they could be a dagger. So last night I went down to race the RC cars, and there was 12 of us in my class, and they randomly put them in the computer, and they mix them up, and then they make two heat races. If you understand racing, you have two heat races, and I'm in a heat race, right? And some of the faster guys are in the other heat race, so I'm thinking, okay, I know those guys, I race with those guys, and I don't race with these guys, so I don't know what they're going to do. Well, they stuff me, I'll make it short, they stuff me in the wall, they flip me on my lid, they crash me, and normally, I qualify very well. So I said, okay. Instead of getting mad because we're supposed to control our tempers, I went back and I went over my car and I checked stuff and went out for the second race. They stuffed me in the wall and they flipped me over, and there's no way that I could possibly make the feature because I'd be stuck in with them guys in the B feature and they would just tear me up. So I just said, you know what? I'm just going to pack up and leave. I'm not going to get mad. A couple guys said, where are you going? I said, you know, I'm not mad. I said, I'm just not going to break my stuff up. So that wasn't much fun, right? So I'm coming home, coming down 71, and just below Lexington, I'm got it on cruise, and I drive with both hands on the wheel like an old man. You know, it's like Bobby Wine taught me, get your hands on the wheel, both hands, 10 and 2. So I'm driving down the road. I got on cruise control, doing about 71. All of a sudden, boom, there's this explosion. And I'm, whoa, what's going on, what's going on? I thought I ran over a deer. And so I'm looking in rearview mirrors, you know, because I'm looking for cars to be swinging or swaying or getting out of the way. And nothing. I'm going, what in the world was that? You know, my head hit the, and I got a little bit of a headache from hitting the headrest, the back, the headrest on the seat. That's, and always a little hint, pull them up. So your head hits the headrest and not snap over the headrest. And I've had so many concussions. I had a serious concussion too. And I thought, oh. So anyway, I might be a little bit foggy. But Jim knows I'm real foggy. So I'm driving down the road. I'm going, what's going on here? Well, some guy drilled me. I was doing 70, he was doing about 80, and he drilled my left rear corner. Boom! Boom! Everything flew off the dashboard, and I hit my head on the thing, and I'm looking around going, I must have hit a deer. I shouldn't have done that. I just cut my hand and I was going to start bleeding again. So anyway, I'm looking, and this guy kind of pulls over and in front of me and pulls over. I said, well, that must have been the guy that hit me. So he pushed my bumper in, and fortunately for me, the bumper was bad. It was starting to rot, so it kind of collapsed and took the shock. But not only was I getting hammered down there at the little racetrack, I got hammered on the way home. I'm thinking, you're right, Tim. You know, there's going to be attacks. So I just had to share that with you after I just cut a cut. So let's get started. Nate's gone. I'm new to this. It's been years since I've done this. So anyway, Jeremiah 15:16. If you want to follow me with that, if you want to open up to Jeremiah 15:16. This is the NASB edition. It says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became for me a joy and a delight of my heart, for I have been called by your name. Sorry if I got a little ahead of you there, but Jeremiah 15:16. And I can remember when I was a new believer, I wasn't a kid, I was 42 when I accepted Christ. And I wanted to read through the Bible. I wanted to read it. Everybody says, oh, you got to read through the Bible in a year. You have to do. Well, that's fine. You can do that. But you miss so much because you're not trained yet to pick up stuff. But that's okay. You know, read through it and kind of, you know, get an idea of where it's going and what verses, and or not what verses, but what books are doing what and the order of the books. That's pretty simple. And I read that verse and I thought, what does that mean? I had no idea. I'm going to eat the words? So anyway, let's go to Ezekiel 3:1-3. If you'll follow along with me. And it says, then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me the scroll. And I'm thinking, when I first read that, I'm going, why is he eating paper? That just doesn't make any sense. Because I can remember when we was kids, you know, when we was passing notes in grade school, and you kind of snuck up the note, and you ate it, and it tasted terrible. I'm thinking, well, is that kind of like the same thing? It doesn't make any sense. And he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll, which I'm giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. That's a real strange description, but it'll make sense eventually. Isaiah 55:1-2, which I think is on the back of the, yeah. Come all of you who are thirsty, and you who have no money, you're poor, come and buy and eat. Come and buy wine and milk without money and without cost. It's free. And why spend money on what is not bread? Catch that? What is not bread? And your labor on what will not satisfy. Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Eat what is good and the richest of fare. Keep that in mind. I hope that makes sense. Hopefully it will here. There's all over the Bible, there's references to eating. You ever notice that? Somebody go, yeah, seen that. No, there is. There's just references to eating meals and eating the scroll and eat this and eat that, and it makes you wonder, what is this thing with eating? And there's many, many references to it. I mean, there's something really special about eating, whether it be physical food or spiritual food, because it's always brought up. And family meals, Let's just go there for a minute. You have a big family meal and a big spread and holiday dinners. And even downstairs, we have a fellowship dinner. Is it more than just a meal when you come to eat? Think about this. Is it just a meal? Okay, I'm going over to Uncle Bill's house and we're going to have turkey. We're going to watch football. Is that all it is, or is it more than that? It should be something more than that, because now you're with your relatives and your husband or wife or friends or kids, and the whole family's together, and there's something that kind of pulls it all together, and it's that meal that's the centerpiece. Just like spiritual meal is the centerpiece. It's a it's a bond, it's a sharing. And you share what each other's brought, you know, like downstairs. Let's just take downstairs, for instance, when we have a fellowship dinner. Somebody brings scalloped potatoes, somebody brings ham. Everybody brings something that they've used and they've made with their own hands or put together. And that's really special, because they're showing you some love through that meal, through that food. And here's that food thing again. Food is very important. It's becoming more sacred to me. So I hope you can see this. It's an offering of love. And when I was a kid, my grandmother's long since passed away. She was born in Vrbanja, Croatia, and her and my aunt and uncles, my two aunts and uncle, Berta, Kata, and Ivan. Grandpa come over to the estates, and he had worked and saved enough money to bring them over. So he sent the money to them, and here's this Croatian lady with a little babushka, if you can picture that. She always wore a babushka and just plain cotton dress, very plain woman with these three little kids, and she's toting them over, and she takes them over. We found out through the papers that she took them, got them over to Spain, somehow from Croatia over to Spain to hop on a ship to come over. So we was sitting there looking at the papers from her trip, and we about fell off the chair when we read the ship that she came over on. She came over on the Carpathia. Does anybody know what the Carpathia is? The Carpathia is the first ship that got to the Titanic. It was later, 3 years or 4 years later, it was later sunk by a German U-boat. So I'm glad she came over 3 years early. But when you walked into Baba's house, like I said, here's this little foreign lady with a little babushka and the wrinkled skin, but it was just as soft as a baby's behind, but it was wrinkled. It's just the way those foreign women are, you know. And she'd come. It's not an insult. It's a beauty mark to me. So when you come in and she'd say, hey, come on, eat. She'd take you back. You had to eat something. You're not going to get away without eating. You're going to share, and she was sharing her love through the food to us. So she did that all the time. You're just not going to get away from it. And I looked at that, and I thought, that's that sacred thing again. She's giving her love to me in the form of food. So when I started seeing this stuff, it started getting really personal with me. And I start to see this gift, the gift of food from humans to humans and from God to humans. So remember in Isaiah 55:2, it says, why spend the money on what is not bread and your labor on what will not satisfy? So what's that mean, not satisfy? Putting emphasis on too much extra stuff. And we all can probably eliminate some extra stuff in our lives if it's getting in our way with God. If it gets in the way of God, you got to look at it real hard and start to say, I don't think I really need that. But you got to emphasize the word says bread. You got to think, what's this bread thing? Spiritual food, spiritual bread. So what I'm asking you here to do is I'm kind of making a plea with you to sit at God's table and eat His Word and read the Word, absorb it, digest it, try to understand it even more. And as a newbie, at 42 years old, I was really lost because I didn't really know. Now Jim and I go way back to when I was first a believer. We've known each other that long. And I can remember asking him a question down the hallway, the church we was attending, and he kind of went, maybe you better ask the pastor that one. Because I was kind of like, phew. It was over my head, and I didn't understand it, but that's okay. That's what happens when you're crawling, when you start to understand the Word, you're crawling like a baby. And eventually you get up on your hands and knees, and then eventually you stand upright and you start to walk. And it took me, I think I crawled for a couple years because I didn't know this, and I asked a million questions. What? And I got them answered, and then I got on my hands and knees, and started crawling. And I actually picked up some speed crawling, but it wasn't enough to walk. But I was learning more and more and more. And then I eventually, I'd say, it probably took 4 years for me to stand up and walk, to start to understand. I was picking up a lot of books and reading a lot of books. I'm a big fan of Charles Swindoll. He really helped Kay and I through a couple crises with a friend of ours who was in prison. Charles Stanley, Tony Evans, Alistair Begg. I was just listening and reading and just loving it, picking up stuff. I'm learning, man. I'm standing more and more upright all the time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10:3. Hope I'm not messing you guys up here, confusing you. Here it is again. Everybody kind of there? Okay, it says, 10:3 says, and all ate the same spiritual food. And all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from the spiritual rock which followed them, and that rock was Christ. And that's what I'm getting at. You got to look at it real serious. This is food. And if you want to say it, we're eating Christ. We're digesting, absorbing Christ by eating this. And if we don't dine with God, if we don't eat the rich fare that He's put up before us, we're going to starve spiritually. Guaranteed. You can even be in a really good walk, and something happens in your life, and you slip, and you might not be in a really good spiritual position. It happens to everybody. Don't expect it not to happen. It probably can and probably will. But then you get away from the Word, and you get away from reading and stuff, and I made a little note. You get lost. Now we know the world's lost, but that's what I'm saying here is L-O-S-T. If we don't stay in the Word, we're going to become lost and wander around. It's lack of scriptural training. I used that a long time ago. So we got to stay in this. We got to stay in the Word. And sometimes it's hard to read. Sometimes it's very easy to read. Sometimes you don't understand it. But just keep reading it over and over. And you ask every time you open up the Bible, say to the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to see today? And just let Him tell you. He'll show you. It'll get there. You'll get there. We'll get there. And when the whole church gets there, it's really going to be something. So what do we crave? Do we crave the Word, or do we crave the world? We got to get a balance there. We got to start saying, you know what? I should be craving the Word well more than I'm craving the world. If we don't eat, we're not going to gain the spiritual strength. This is what gives us our spiritual strength, is reading and it's a communication with God. It's a dining with God. It's an eating with God. And during the day, do we ponder on godly things? You know, do you drive down the road and talk to God? Or you drive down the road and just listen to the radio? You know, are you out mowing the yard? And, you know, when you mow the yard, you're just sitting there going, that's a good time to think about God, because you have nothing else to think about. Because you're going to automatically go up and down that way, and I go this way, and I take 3 spins around that tree, and I go back, and just boom, it's automatic. But that's a good time to think about God and say, God, you know, I'm going through this thing. Just talk to him. I don't know what I'm doing here. What's going on here? What's happening over here with me? What's happening over here with me? And just talk. Just talk. Just eat with him. Take the time. It's not hard. You got to do it. You have to do it. So, where's Ellen? She's not in here, is she? Nate, Greek, I'm going to pick your head here. Meditate is a Greek word, correct? The base word's Greek? I don't know. That's okay. That sounds right. Okay. If I heard this right, if I read this right, the meditate is to bring up. Okay? That's what the base, it's not meditate, that's not the base word in Greek. That's our form of it. But it means to bring up. Now, everybody knows a cow has a cud, right? And they burp up this cud or whatever, and they sit there and they chew it. And you know, they're sitting there just, you know, having a good old time chewing their cud while they're meditating on that food. Well, when we digest some spirit, some of the spirit and some of the word, we should have a spiritual cud and burp this up, quote unquote, and chew on it, right? And meditate on it. Ruminate. Very good. That's even better. Ruminate on this word that we've learned. It might be something that you've learned that Tim taught. And you're going, so you go, you know, you get in the Bible and you look it up and you read the verses and you're sitting there going, oh man. That's the time you got to ask God, and that's the time you got to concentrate and say, well, you're driving down the road or doing the dishes or mowing the lawn or what does that mean? And he'll tell you. He'll bring it to you. Guarantee. I guarantee you will. So we've got to ponder on things and chew on things. And it's not about knowing about God. This is about knowing God. Okay? Does that make sense? It's about knowing God, knowing who he is. That's extremely important in our walks. Do we desire or have the hunger to be guided? I don't really feel like reading this. It's too hard. You're starving. You have no hunger whatsoever. If that's your attitude, you got to change that. If we're going to walk with God and we're going to be God's children, a good father will teach his children lessons. So that's this right here. Do we hunger for a closer relationship with the Spirit? We should. Absolutely. That's why I always bring up the Holy Spirit, because in this time in my life right now, the Spirit is just really, I think it's coming here and listening to Tim, because I think the Holy Spirit's got a hold of Tim, and when he preaches some pretty deep stuff, I think. We've been to, how many churches have we been to, Kay? Oh, too many. 30-some churches. I've been put to sleep. Not really. That's an expression. I've seen a pastor's face get red and his veins are sticking out in his neck and he was screaming. I'm thinking, Jesus didn't scream. You never read that, you know. I've seen people, Alana and I went one time and she goes, Dad, she goes, I'm getting scared. We got to leave. Because the people were running up the aisle screaming bloody murder, looking like a jet plane, running back and forth. She goes, Dad, I'm getting scared. I said, no, honey. I said, this is where we learn. we're going to stay here and watch the show. Because a lot of churches, I'm not saying every church, but a lot of churches are a show. You get in there and you really want to learn something, and all it is, it's like a nightclub. You ever been to a church like that? It's like a nightclub, and that's not where I'm at.
Seeker-friendly churches.
Yeah, seeker-friendly churches. Yeah. They're not serving any food. Now, I like Tad and Liz, and Heather, you did a great job today. You always do. That is so simple and so beautiful. It's sweet. Is it? Sweet to the taste. That's eating God. When it's sweet to the taste. And I really appreciate you guys doing that. Because like I said, I think I told you my sister was a fantastic guitarist. So that reminds me all the time of her playing, because there was always music. Spurgeon says, only where the Spirit is, the hunger should be more than just attending a service on Sundays. It should be. It has to be. And in God's realm, it's going to be. Because if it's not going to be, where are you going to go? It's got to be. In God's realm, it is going to be this way, because this is my realm. And you will listen. And he's busted me so many times. But he does. Here's a little thought about food. This is John 21:9. You don't have to look it up if you don't want to. But in John 21:9, it goes like this. It goes, So when they got... What? I can't read my notes. Let me just read it here out of this. My scribbling is something fierce. It's horrible. That's what I was afraid of. I thought, I'm going to get in here and I'm not going to be able to read my notes. Guess what? It happened. John 21:9. I find this. This is the kind of stuff that I really find amazing. John 21:9. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish so that you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Now, check this out. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. Come and have breakfast. Christ was physically eating with them. And he's also asking us to spiritually eat with it. You got to read between the lines when you're studying the Word. There's a lot of hidden stuff in there. That's what you got to find. And none of the disciples ventured to question him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. So he told him, come and have breakfast. Isn't it really, doesn't that show how approachable a person is when they offer you food? You know, that's a thing like, hey, I like you, you know. Come over here and have some food with me. God's the same way, Christ's the same way, and Holy Spirit's the same way. So Daniel 12:10 says, many will be purged, purified, and refined, but the wicked will act wickedly, and none of the wicked will understand, but those who have insight will understand. And we have to have insight in God's Word. So I asked Kay, I said, you know, Kay, let me run this by you, see if this makes sense. She goes, yeah. She goes, go ahead. I like it. So I have a good imagination, and God has blessed me with that, and it's also been one of my worst curses. If you have an imagination, it can take you places where you shouldn't go. Right? Amen? But on the same notion, it's a great learning tool for the Word because he allows your imagination to see things, okay? And I told Kay, I said, hey, let me run this by you, see if this sounds too corny. And she goes, no, it doesn't sound corny at all. So I like word pictures. Everybody in here like word pictures? I like them. So I said, well, let me run this by you. When you knock on the door to the Bible, to the Word, you knock on the door and a door opens. And standing behind the door is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Well, the Holy Spirit invites you. Come on in. So you come in, and sitting right in front of you, as you're standing there, is this beautiful chair. Just absolutely gorgeous. Mortise and tendon, no pegs. Or pegs, no nails. You know what I'm talking about? The temple was done with that, okay? No nails. And this table. This wood is just fantastic. And you can't, I never seen wood like that. So then he takes his tablecloth and he throws it over top of the table and it's just brilliant white. And he smooths it out. And you know, I'm looking around. Oh, that's used me. I'm looking around and I see this tables just packed full of food. Up to your gills. So full of food. I'm looking at that food. I'm going, wow, man, this is a feast. So he comes over, he pulls a chair out, sets me down. And I'm sitting at the table, and oh, look at all this. So he brings this glass over, and this glass is really different. I can't really explain it because it just glistens, and it just shines and it sparkles. And I said, what's that glass made out of? Because it's not glass, it's a diamond, cut from one diamond. And then he comes over, and he puts down a plate. And I'm looking at this plate, and I said, this plate looks like an emerald. It is an emerald. Of course it's an emerald. Everything with me is first class. God, of course, right? So this emerald plate, honed and cut and just beautiful. And then he comes over, and he lays down this silverware, and the silverware is just, woo, really bright. Why is the silverware so bright? It has no dross in it. It's refined. It's pure. I'm not going to have any dross in my kingdom. Okay, so then he comes over this pitcher, and the pitcher looks like the glass I thought was glass, but it's this diamond glass, and it's the same deal, it's a pitcher, and he's pouring out this water in this pitcher, and there's something that's coming across the water. I'm going, what is that? I can feel something coming off that water, it's coolness. He goes, this is living water. Gotcha. So then he brings over a platter, and on it is this beautiful loaf of warm bread. I'm going, oh, wow, okay. What is this? He goes, it's the bread of life. I go, oh, wow, I'm reading all this stuff. This is why I'm a new Christian, okay? A new believer. I'm seeing all this stuff. And then he brings over another glass. He sets it down. He pours it full of milk. And he sets that on the plate. I'm going, yeah, but I'm seeing all this food. Can I have some of that over there? No, 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 no. You can't have that yet. All you can do is handle milk. Well, you'll get there, but you're just handling the milk right now. Okay. So I eat the water. I drink the living water. I eat the bread of life. And I drink milk. Well, why can't I have it? Because your stomach couldn't handle it. It's just, there's too much. You'll come back. So I come back. I come back. Hundreds of times I come back for dinner to dine with God. And one day, I'm on meat. He's bringing me meat. So now I'm eating meat. And I'm eating it, and I come back, and I eat, and I come back, and I eat, and I come back. It's over and over and over again. And one day, I'm sitting there eating the meat that I've ate before. But it tastes totally different. I said, what's with this taste? I said, something's different about this meat. He goes, oh, no, no, no. There's nothing different about that meat. Not a thing. Yeah, but it tastes spicier or something. There's something going on with it. No, That's the same meat I've been serving for 2,000 years. It's the same meat. You're just tasting it different because now you've got wisdom and knowledge and understanding. So now you're starting to taste things differently. Oh, I get it. Now I get it. So I keep coming back. Well, one day I come back, and my mind just isn't quite right. I've been dealing with something, and I haven't repented of it, okay? We do that, right? We take on things, and we kind of blow it off. I'll just say that. We just blow it off. You don't ask God for repentance. You just don't. You know. So anyway, I come back to dine with God. He opens the door, pulls a chair out, seats me. I sit, plate, silverware, glasses. And instead of bringing me a nice slice of warm meat and a nice steaming loaf of bread, he brings me over salted lima beans. And he knows I hate lima beans. I can't stand lima beans, I'm sorry. But it's like eating chalk. That's the way it feels to me. But that's the point. He knows it, to me, it tastes like chalk. Because I've come in to him with unrepentant heart over something I've done, and I haven't repented to him. So I go, "You want me to eat this?" He goes, "Absolutely." He says, "You take a big spoonful of that and you eat it." "Do I have to?" "Oh, don't ask God questions like that." I ate it. I got to get a little drink of water. So I ate it, and it was horrible. And I swallowed it, and it sat on my stomach, and it was just giving me a gut ache. Just horrible. And I'm thinking, this isn't right. "What do you mean it's not right?" "This isn't right. This is just making my stomach hurt. This is causing me a lot of grief." He goes, he looks down, he bends down, he goes, "You've been causing me a lot of grief. You've grieved the Holy Spirit." Oh, I'm going, "Oh, you know why. You are this man." And I'm going, "Oh, yes, you're right. There is no excuse, you know. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I knew better, and I entertained it, and I shouldn't have went there. I have no excuse. Please forgive me." So he puts his hand on my shoulder and he goes, "You're forgiven." Immediately, the gut ache's gone. But I'm sitting there going, "I don't know why I did that. That was so stupid on my part." So he gets behind me, starts to pull the chair out, and he says, "Go and sin no more." So I get up, I walk over to the door, and I start to open up the door. He goes, "Hey, wait a minute, just a minute." I said, you know, I'm kind of going, not feeling real good about myself, right? And he says, "Hey, I want you to come back real soon because I got something really good for you to eat." I'm going, "You want me to come back?" "Absolutely. Of course, thank you. I'll be back." So I open up the door. I walk out and I shut the door. I'm going, wow. The Father disciplines the Son he loves. And the lima beans was my discipline. And he busted me. And I put in my Bible, "I'm busted." I write, "Ow, ow, ow." And he busts me. I make a note of it so when I go back, I remember that that's the point right there that he busted me. And it reminds me of the time he busted me. And I don't want to go there again, right? So I thought, well, that was very bittersweet to the taste, that lesson. So I hope, I'm going to close here. I hope that you taste and dine with God and the flavors that he can give you. Because there's this virtual feast right here. And it's sacred, and it's very spiritual. And that's why I ask that you consider this week to think about it and to say, where am I at? Okay? Amen. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to speak today. And if one person got one thing, the mission is accomplished. Amen.